Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to be reading verses 15 through 25. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 25. If everyone would please stand for the reading of God's word. Thank you. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 25. Ephesians chapter 5. The ushers would gather those visitors' cards for me, please. Thank you. They're out there. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 25. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 25. Let's read. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time before the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding the will of God, or the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Let's pray. The Lord, thank you once again for just a wonderful morning. Dear Lord, we also want to just thank you for our spouses, dear Lord. Thank you for this wonderful institute of marriage, dear Lord, where we could not only worship together, but, dear Lord, grow together. Father, we ask now that you would just bless our service. Open our hearts and our minds to the lesson and the message that you put on pastor's heart to teach and preach. We ask that you give him power beyond all measure, dear Lord. Fill him with the Holy Spirit, and, Father, that we may hear exactly what you put on his heart. Once again, dear Lord, we want to hear from you. In Jesus' precious name we ask, amen. You may be seated.
Are your garments? right, we're going to put them in a bus and send them across America. That's great. I want to speak to this morning on this subject, God's plan for the family. God's plan for the family. We are seeing our homes attacked from every direction. Families everywhere are struggling, either heading towards trouble or in trouble or just getting out of trouble. Many times our children are growing up disillusioned, and as a result, our society oftentimes is getting more and more unstable. Many homes today are not happy. The truth is, it seems like our homes are in worse shape today in 2015 than they've ever been before in the history of human beings. Some people say that traditional marriage is the problem. Some people say that the biblical definition of the family needs to be rewritten. Some people think that the rules of marriage need to be, again, reassessed and redone. Some people just call the whole idea of marriage or a family an archaic idea and something that's completely out of date. But I believe, for one, that the Bible is perfect. I believe that God put everything together the way he intended to in the Garden of Eden. And I believe this with all my heart. I don't think anybody can run their lives better than God can. I think when we get away from God's plan, we're asking for trouble. I think that we need to realize that God's way is the best way. The bottom line is not that marriage needs to be rewritten or the rules need to be written or the family needs to be diagnosed. I believe the real bottom line problem is that we are not following the plan or the rules that God has or the way that God has for us to have happy homes. I believe that sin is the real problem. I believe that rebellion against God is the real problem. I believe that in our lives, many times, the fact that we ignore God and many times keep God out of our homes is the real problem. Let me say that one more time, and you'll know why in a little while. I believe the real problem is that we don't have God as a part of our homes or our marriages. Someone said, some parents seem to work and work and work to give their kids a car so they can get away from home. He said, I'd rather work and work and work to give their kids a home so they want to stay close to home. All of us have homework to do. All of us need to do work at home. Amen? Years ago in the 1960s in Germany, there was a guy named Friedrich Flick. He was an industrialist in Germany after World War II. He built tremendous amounts of businesses. He was just a very shrewd businessman. In the last year of his life, his businesses had sales over $3 billion. That's a lot of money. And back then, it was even more money. But here's how people remember him. People that after he passed away, they said, what do you remember about Friedrich Flick? They said, all I remember is trying to pick up the broken pieces of his family after he died. That's what this man was known for after he passed away. He left a shambles of a family. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, I pray that you never live so that one day your child would be able to say, Father, your negligence was my destruction, and Mother, your prayerlessness was my damnation. My friend, we need to focus again on God's plan for our family. There are more people on earth today than there ever have been in the history of mankind. But it seems like it's harder and harder to find a place where you can really be with people that you're accepted by and that love you unconditionally, and you could just let your hair down, so to speak, and take your shoes off, so to speak, and just relax in their presence. It's harder and harder to just find a home that you could really call a wonderful home. We have a better lifestyle than any other generation before us. But probably our families and our marriages and our children and the relationship with their parents are in worse shape than they have ever been. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you saw a godly family that you just looked at their family and say, you know what, that is an illustration of what a happy home is? I remember reading a story recently of it was actually, I believe, a missionary family. I believe they had 8 children. And they were eating a picnic lunch together in a public place. And they were just doing what they normally did. They were sharing and talking and just enjoying their company. Well, they didn't realize that the whole time an elderly couple was sitting on the side watching them. And after they were eating, this elderly couple got up, and the elderly gentleman took a $20 bill out and gave it to the youngest boy and said, "Listen, I've been watching your family. You are just an encouragement to look at, to watch. What a wonderful family you have. Here, just take this and just buy your family some ice cream with it." When's the last time you saw a family where you just admired them? You just said, "Boy, that's a family that there's respect and there's good manners and they treat each other kindly." When's the last time you saw a beautiful family that just was happy and consistent? You know, the family's supposed to be that way. The family's supposed to be a rewarding experience. To have a family, it's supposed to be satisfying and fulfilling and strengthening. It's supposed to be a place that's productive. You want to look forward to being with your family. You want to love being with your family more than anybody else on the face of this earth. And if you don't have that feeling, listen to what I want to say this morning to you from the Word of God. It should be obvious to the world that, again, our homes have been blessed by God. Our homes are a huge part of our testimony. A huge part of our testimony. Our families are supposed to picture the relationship that Jesus Christ has with his church. When we mess up our homes and have division and disunity and we lack that strong relationship, my brother, my sister, listen, we are putting a blot on the testimony that we're supposed to have with people, showing them how the Lord and the church work together and are a team, inseparable, through thick and thin, through better and worse. We're forfeiting our opportunity to have our family as a part of our testimony. DeWitt Talmadge said this of the home. He said, "The home is a church within the church, a republic within the republic, a world within the world. If things go right in the home, they will go right everywhere. And when things go wrong in the home, then things are wrong everywhere. Man can never go higher than the own windowsill of his house, and men will go no longer than the cellar of their home." My friend, our homes are important. He said as well, "The beginnings of anarchy in the family are the beginnings of anarchy in our nation." When things fall apart in our homes, it's just a matter of time till it trickles down that our society falls apart. When young people live in chaos, they grow up and they create chaos as adults. Young people who are relationally distant from their parents are vulnerable to everything this world has to offer. I'm saying this, our homes are an important part of our testimony. We live in a day today when there's generations of people that are separated by strife and bitterness and broken trust. By the way, Brother Renee, good choice. Gennaro Solano, you know what I love about this man? His kids are in church and his grandkids are in church. Let me tell you what. Listen, we need more families that work together, amen? But there's generations of people that are separated by strife and broken trust. And no longer is the previous generation handing down that heritage. No longer is the previous generation communicating and the younger generation's listening, and there's teaching and there's discipline and there's, again, a code of honor that's transferred from generation to generation. The Bible speaks about the older men teaching the younger men and the older women teaching the younger women. If that doesn't happen, that's why the younger people don't know what to do. That's how why the younger generation doesn't know how to live, because the older generation has not transmitted to them, or the younger generation has not received it. And as a result, we have a generation now that, again, doesn't even know how to build a home in many cases. Every generation is just living for itself. And our generation, younger generation today, is learning very simply that, hey, the most aggressive, the most vocal, the most demanding is who gets what they want. I was stuck in the airport for 12 hours a couple of weeks ago. It was amazing what people were saying and doing. I mean, how rude and how unkind they were, and how they were trying to shove themselves to the front of the line. I mean, it's scary sometimes how people act. You know why? Because our homes are, again, being reflected in our community. If we don't preserve our families, again, our churches will crumble. The Bible says, "You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall you be salted?" Again, how can we make our society what it's supposed to be? if our families are not what they're supposed to be. God is not a part of building the worldly home. We know that. God's not a part of building the unbeliever's home, or the people that don't believe in the Bible, or the people that have no interest in church or have no interest in learning God's word. But it is sad that God is no more a part of building the home of a lot of believers. It is sad that God is not even a part of many believers who are even in church. Let me give you a picture of a home. Disunity, arguing between husband and wife, indifference of parents, competition and favoritism amongst the children, very little time home together, and when they are home together, it's not sweet-spirited, friction between siblings, debt, TV, the overachievement mentality, lack of discipline, children left to themselves, inconsistency. In the last couple of weeks, people now are giving Valentines to their dogs and cats more than ever before. Yeah, that's actually true. People are buying Valentines now for their dog because that's who they really love and who they really loves them. Now, let me ask you a question. Is that a Christian home or an unchristian home? Sometimes it sounds like either one. Unfortunately, sometimes we don't live any differently from the world. The world lives without God. Many Christians live without God. The world has problems in their homes. We have the same problems in our homes. Divorce, juvenile delinquency, rebellion, immorality, confusion, anger, disillusionment. Again, we've got the same problems in our homes that the world has because they're living without God in their homes. And we're not making God a part of our homes. I want to speak to you this morning on this subject, God's plan for the family. God's plan for the family. Let's pray together. Lord, please give us, again, your truth, Lord, in our hearts, so that we can address our difficulties, Lord, when it comes to our home life. Lord, I believe that there's one answer, and that's you. Lord, I believe that we, more than anything else on the face of this earth, Lord, we need you in the middle of our marriages, in the middle of our homes, in the middle of our parenting. Lord, our churches ought to be a place where God is, again, talked about, and Lord, you're honored. Lord, I believe our nation ought to be a Christian nation where you are honored and you are respected. But Lord, even more than that, I believe every one of our homes ought to be a place where you are honored and respected and you are exalted. Lord, you ought to be the head of our homes. And Lord, we pray that please, again, that you would speak to our hearts and show us, Lord, where we fail to do this and help us, Lord, to make a good improvement this morning. Lord, help us to set out from this place in a little while to do exactly that. We ask it, Lord, that you convict our hearts and please work with us. And please, Lord, help me to make this point clear. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5 could be summarized in the Bible as God's plan for the family. In Ephesians chapter 5, God gives some very practical advice. He says there in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, he said, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us as an offering and as a sacrifice to God, as a sweet-smelling savor. Fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks." And so Ephesians talks very practically here about how, again, we can have practical success in the Christian life. Let me say several statements. Number one, obviously, to have a Christian home, we need to be saved ourselves. Some of you this morning, many of you this morning here, are saved people. You know that your faith is only in Jesus Christ to take you to heaven when you die. There's a few in here this morning that you act like you're saved, and you think that we think you're saved, but you know you're not saved. And I want to say this morning, some of you, listen, you can fool me, you could fool the deacons, you could fool your Sunday school teacher, but you can't fool God. You need to get saved. If you're going to have a Christian home, you need to be a believer in Jesus Christ for your salvation and only in him. Some of you may not be saved and be proud of it. You may have no interest in being saved, but I still thank you for being here this morning. But Ephesians chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 was written to believers. In Ephesians chapter 1, the Bible says, and Paul was speaking by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are in Ephesus. Here are a group of people that were believers. They were in the church of Ephesus. And so again, he's speaking to them, as I'll say in a few minutes, about the home. He was speaking to saints, people that were saved already. First thing we need to do if we want to have a godly home is to be saved. Amen? But again, how can we make our marriages, our children, our grandchildren, and our homes what God intends for us to be? We need to go back to God. Hey, God is the one that created us. God is the one that gave us life. God is the one that created marriage. God is the one that led you husbands and wives together. God is the one that created your home. God is the one that gave life to your children. God is the one that wrote the book on how the family functions. We need to go back to the Word of God and understand what God wants us to do. The Christian home can only become a reality, though, if you and your family are believers. Now, which one of you here this morning is holding your family back from your family having a Christian home? Is it some son or some daughter? Is it some wife or some mother? Who is it that, again, is being the aching of the home? And you're limiting God from working in your home because you truly are not a believer in Jesus Christ. I beg you this morning, become a Christian so that your whole family could be saved and God can work with you all together. Number two, if a person, though, is not saved, we have to understand the Holy Spirit does not live in them. The Bible, again, speaks about this over and over again. Number three, when a person becomes a believer, the Holy Spirit lives in their spirit. In Romans chapter 8, verse number 9, the Bible says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Again, a person that rejects Christ, the Bible says the Father and the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ always work together. When we reject Christ, the Holy Spirit rejects you. And the Father one day will reject you and you will not be able to go to heaven. You'll have to go to hell because you rejected the Son of God. But when we accept Jesus Christ and recognize that Jesus Christ was God who became flesh and died on the cross for us, and we accept Jesus Christ, guess what happens? God becomes my heavenly Father. And Jesus instructed me to pray, my Father in heaven, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But not only that, the Holy Spirit then lives within my spirit. Not because I'm worthy of it, but because of Jesus Christ. Because since my sins are paid for, the Holy Spirit can now live inside me. So when a person becomes a believer, the Holy Spirit lives within their spirit. That's what we talk about when we call a person born again. The Bible says we're regened. We become a child of God. If we reject Christ, the Holy Spirit does not live in us. But the minute we accept Christ, that instant, the Holy Spirit moves within us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Spirit is God. God says that, again, he is three persons in one Godhead. The Holy Spirit is the one, again, that influences us, as I'll say in a few minutes. Number four. So when a person becomes a believer, the Holy Spirit lives within us. But number four, if a believer is not filled with the Holy Spirit, they will not have unity together with God. See, the Holy Spirit is God. When we do not allow him to work in our life as believers, if we do not allow him to fill us, if you will, take control of us, influence us, show us what to do. If we say, Holy Spirit, no, I'll give you my salvation, but I'm not going to let you have my mouth. I'm not going to let you have my attitude. I'm not going to let you have my music. I'm not going to let you have my decisions. When we say no to the Holy Spirit, we're saying no to God. And so when we say no to the Holy Spirit, God the Father knows that. And he sees that. When we have conflict with the Holy Spirit, we have conflict with God himself. I'm not saying we're not saved. We are still saved. The Holy Spirit stays within us no matter what we do once we accept Jesus Christ. Are you all with me? But the Holy Spirit, just because he's within my spirit, doesn't mean that he fills my life. If I do not allow him and do not want him to fill my life, he has little or no influence over me. Just because, again, he lives within me does not automatically mean that I'm yielded to him, that I follow him, that when he convicts me, I obey him. That's a different story. Once I accepted Christ, the Holy Spirit lives within me, but I don't automatically have his filling in my life. I don't automatically give him free rein. For example, one of the ushers may be in the building right now, but that doesn't mean they have access to every part of the building. Only the deacons would have access to the financial office, or those working in the financial office would have access to that part. There may be other parts of the building, again, that are here, but they do not have full access to everything. Just because the Holy Spirit lives within our spirit does not mean that you automatically have that he has access to your whole life. We have a free will to yield to the Holy Spirit or to quench the Holy Spirit. The Bible speaks about resisting the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 5, the Bible speaks about Ananias and Sapphira lying to the Holy Spirit and tempting the Holy Spirit. So when we put our faith in Jesus Christ to get us to heaven when we die, again, we are saved. But the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us wants to, again, start making us more like Jesus Christ if we'll let him. The Holy Spirit is holy. He wants to make us like he is. The Holy Spirit within us, again, wants us to live on earth like Jesus Christ, but we have to let him work in us. Salvation is through Jesus Christ, but changing your life is done by the influence of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to heaven when I die because of Jesus Christ. But my life becomes more like Jesus Christ because as I yield to the Holy Spirit, he again makes me more like Jesus Christ and causes me to live the Christian life. Salvation is the starting point of the Christian life. But to live the Christian life, God said, Jesus Christ himself said, we need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that makes results happen in our personal lives. Number five, if we have disunity, again, with the Holy Spirit and with God, it only follows that we'll have disunity with human beings. If I cannot get along with the Holy Spirit, how can I get along with imperfect family members? If I will not yield, if I will not listen to God himself, how will I be expected to listen to human beings or care about human beings? If I do not love God, if I do not concern myself with what God says, how can I love human beings? If we have, again, conflict with the Holy Spirit and with God, we will have disunity with people. Number six, the first people we come in contact with and deal with is our family. Number seven, when we are not filled with the Holy Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to control us and to guide us in our Christian lives, the first place that is made obvious is in our marriages and in our homes. If I resist the Holy Spirit, if I quench the Holy Spirit, if I again resist the Holy Spirit and tell him not, I don't want to give that part of my life to him, the first person that'll see that is my wife. Very soon after that, my son and my daughter will notice, hey, dad is being stubborn. Dad is being unreasonable. Dad is not being loving. Hey, dad is not being fair. The first people that see us when we have struggles with the Holy Spirit and struggles with God is our family. You see, the young person who creates disunity in their homes first had disunity with God. Are you with me? The Holy Spirit was convicting that young person, and that young person said, no, I don't want to do things your way, God. Very soon, that young person is going to have conflict with their parents. But that young person first had conflict with God because he or she did not want to listen to God. The spouse who has disunity and brings disunity into their marriage first had disunity with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, again, and was the one who inspired the writing of the Word of God, and God gave us clear rules on how a marriage and a family ought to work. When a person, a spouse or husband or wife says, Holy Spirit, listen, I'm not going to do what you want me to do. I'm not going to listen to what you wrote. Leave me alone. I'm going to do things my way. That person will go home and have conflict with their husband or wife, but they first had conflict with God. The person who has strife with their brother or sister first had strife with God. Number eight, the reason we have friction in our family, and this is the sermon, the reason we have friction in our family is very simply because we as believers are not yielded to the Holy Spirit of God in our life. If you're a believer this morning, the Holy Spirit lives within you, but you're not doing what he's convicting you to do. You have the Holy Spirit living in your life, and he's showing you the wise way to handle it. But you refuse to listen to him. You'd rather do things your own way, in your own power, in your own wisdom. I'm speaking mostly to believers here this morning. The sad truth is this. God has very little to do with your marriage. I believe that's a true statement for us in general. I believe in general, God has very little to do with how we raise our children. I believe that God has very little on a practical basis. We do not take time to yield to the Holy Spirit in the morning. We do not take time to ask God to lead us through His Holy Spirit on how we speak to our brother, how we speak to our sister, how we speak to our son or daughter or mother or father. We take very little time to ask the Holy Spirit to guide us when it comes to our own family and how we treat our own family. You have to understand, the Bible says in Ephesians 5:21, Brother Angel read it a few minutes ago, the Bible says, submitting yourselves unto one another in the fear of God. God, again, wants himself to be a part of everything that we do in our homes. Christians don't live the family life the way they should, very simply because we are not yielded to the Holy Spirit. We are not allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us and control us and guide us. Yes, we are saved because the Holy Spirit lives within us. We possess the Holy Spirit, but listen, the Holy Spirit does not possess us. Husbands, the Holy Spirit, if you're a saved man, lives in within you. But I want to ask you this morning, does the Holy Spirit possess you? Can He guide your mouth? Can He guide your mind? Can He guide how you treat your wife? Ma'am, yes, if you're a saved person, the Holy Spirit lives within you. But I want to ask you a question this morning. Does the Holy Spirit possess you? Do you yield to Him? Can He show you how to handle your children? Can He show you how to bring your family close together? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? And is the Holy Spirit doing a work in your life as a wife and as a mother? Yes, we possess the Holy Spirit. But are we influenced by the Holy Spirit? Are we obeying Him? Are we following Him? This is the question this morning. Number 9, the biggest need we have in our homes as family members is that we yield to the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, you've probably heard Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 before. You've probably heard people read, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit." But listen, this verse is in the middle of Ephesians chapter 5, where God speaks about the family, and continues in Ephesians chapter 6, where He talks about the home. It is placed there by God when God says, listen, if you're going to do these things, there's only one way this is going to happen. There's only one way that a man and a woman are going to get along with each other, see each other every day, and live together for 50, 60, 70 years. There's only one way this is going to happen. And that's if you yield to the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit work in you as a husband or as a wife. You have children to raise in this ungodly world with every kind of temptation there is. There's only one way this is going to happen. There's only one way, mom, dad, that we're going to have godly kids, and that's that the Holy Spirit guide us as fathers and mothers, that we may raise children that will be an honor to our family and an honor to God. There's only one way. And this is a commandment that God gives us. This verse, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, about speaking about being filled with the Holy Spirit, is in the context and the context around it, where God speaks about marriage, parenting, family relationships. It is right there. And God says, listen, if you're going to have a happy, godly Christian home, we need to know that we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit as husbands and wives. Amen? You see, today, we have marriage troubles, we have trouble with our children, and what do? Right away, when we have a problem, we get a book, we put in a CD, we watch a DVD, we hear a Sunday school lesson, we come to church and hear a sermon, we go to seminars, we go to conferences, we go to marriage counselors, we go on vacation, we go to other people and we fill out charts, we go again on a little getaway. And I'm not saying that these are wrong. I'm not saying that these are not good ideas, because they are. But my friend, let me tell you what, if you don't ask God to get involved in your marriage, it's all a waste of time. If you don't ask the Holy Spirit, who is holy, to start running your life as a father or as a mother, or as a husband or a wife, or as a son or daughter, you are wasting your time. A counselor or a church or a Sunday school class is not going to give you the control that you need in your home. There's only one that's perfect. There's only one that's with you wherever you go. There's only one that knows exactly what every one of us is supposed to do at every juncture of our life, and that is God. And Jesus Christ saved us, but the Holy Spirit was put in us to make us more like him so that we could be pleasing to God the Father. I'm saying we don't go to the Holy Spirit. But no one can do for us what the Holy Spirit was put there to do. He was put there to teach us, to guide us, to shut our mouth sometimes, to make us humble, to make us realize that we're not doing the right thing. He was put there to give you what you need. The Holy Spirit was put in my spirit and your spirit the second we accepted Jesus Christ to restrain us and to control us. Now, brother, sister, workbooks are good. Other couples are good. Listen, counseling is good. It can give you some practical ideas. But my friend, what you really need to do and what I really need to do is live our life in yielding to the Holy Spirit of God and be filled with the Holy Spirit. What we need is Holy Spirit-filled fathers in our homes. What we need very clearly is just one thing, Holy Spirit-filled wives in our homes. What we need more than anything else, and the one thing we need is Holy Spirit-filled sons and daughters in our homes. It'll solve everything. Everything will be put in place. Because God can put everybody in place and you can build a home that will stand every kind of test the devil can put towards you. Look, I know how it is. You look at your family and everybody has a different circumstance. And you look at your home and you say, man, I can't do it. Well, welcome to the club. You say, I can't do it. There's no way that I can submit to that man or love that woman. There's no way I could obey these parents or not provoke these children to wrath. I can't do it. You weren't designed to do it. You're not supposed to do it. I'm not supposed to do it. I'm not Superman and you're not Superwoman or Wonder Woman, whatever you like best. We're not supposed to do it. The Holy Spirit was put in us to create in us the virtues that we need to be the men and women we're supposed to be. Hey, you say, I can't do this. Good, that's step one. Now you need to move on to step two and say, well, who can do it? God can do it. The Holy Spirit is God. He lives within you. He goes everywhere you go. Listen, a counselor, another person can't do that. He can do it. And guess what? He's God. He's holy. He's perfect. He never makes a mistake. His advice is always on point. He always hits the nail on the head. Amen? You say, I can't do it. We're not supposed to do it. The Bible says in Psalms 127, 1, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. God says if you, as an unsafe person or a safe person, doesn't really matter, you try to build your marriage, you try to build your house without God, you are working in vain. You're wasting your time because flesh can't build a home. Only the Holy Spirit of God can. The same Holy Spirit that's in your spouse, that's in your mom or dad, or that's in your children, listen, that Holy Spirit can say, listen, I got a plan here. You do this, you do this, you do this, you do that, and I'm going to figure it all out. You're going to come together like a puzzle. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. Only the Holy Spirit can have a vision for your family like nobody else. Only the Holy Spirit knows exactly what the will of God is for your life. Again, the Lord is supposed to be a part of our homes. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, the Bible says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And then he said, these words which I command you this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Hey, God is supposed to be a part of parenting. God is supposed to be part of marriage. God is supposed to be a part of your home. Amen? See, Ephesians chapter 6 talks about these hard things, wives submitting and husbands loving and children obeying. Listen, who can do that? Nobody can do it, but the Holy Spirit can do it. And only when you and I start letting the Holy Spirit fill us will the Holy Spirit do it through us. Who could give you mercy and grace and temperance? The Holy Spirit can. You say, I can't do it. I don't have it within me. But God has it within him. Amen? The Holy Spirit that lives in you. Number 10, if Christians won't yield to the Holy Spirit, they won't yield to each other in their homes. I believe if you can't yield to the Holy Spirit that's within you, who wants to make you like Jesus Christ, you'll never listen to another human being the way you should. Hey, the Holy Spirit's motives are perfect. His plan for your life is perfect. Everything about him is perfect. And I want to remind all of us here this morning, the option to living in the Spirit is simply living in the flesh. If you refuse to live by the Spirit, and I'm talking to you as a believer, if you and I refuse to listen to the Holy Spirit, all we have by default is to live in the flesh. The Bible says in Galatians 5, verse 16, Paul said, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would, but if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Again, Paul says, see all these things? These are the fruit of the flesh. And that's what we're seeing in a lot of homes today. But then he says but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Sounds like there's a lot of men not living by the fruit of the Holy Spirit to me. Sounds like there's a lot of women not living by the fruit of the Holy Spirit to me, because these are the fruits of the Holy Spirit and these are the fruits of the flesh. It sounds like more Christians are producing the fruit of the flesh rather than the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And it's not us that makes, it's the Holy Spirit in us. Amen? A flesh-living Christian is going to bring discord at home, carnality and selfishness and nothing more. Only a person yielded to the Holy Spirit is going to be a loving husband, a loving wife, a gentle husband, a gentle wife, a meek husband, a meek wife, because that's what the Holy Spirit does within us. Number 11, when we yield to the Holy Spirit, we more easily yield to each other. Why? Because we're learning to yield to those that we love and love us. When we reverence and honor and respect God, it naturally carries down into our family. You see, what I'm saying is this. When a wife is yielded to the Holy Spirit, she's no longer thinking about her rights and what she wants and what she expects. She's saying, God, I just want what you want. When a husband is yielded to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, I just want to fulfill your will, that man is no longer saying, I want my rights. I want what I want. He's thinking about what God wants. When a child, a son or daughter, says, Holy Spirit, I yield to you, that son or daughter is no longer saying, I want my rights, I want what I want. They're simply saying, God, I want whatever you want. How much better are you going to get along if you start yielding to the Holy Spirit? You see, in families, there's quarrels and conflicts and tension. You know why? Because people want their way. They want their opinions to dominate everybody else's. They want to push everybody else to the side and have their way. You start being a yielded Christian to the Holy Spirit, and you'll see the Holy Spirit's not going to let you do that. The Holy Spirit's going to say you're not going to talk that way to your wife. You're not going to act that way towards your mom. The Holy Spirit is going to, if you will, cause you to walk in such a way. The Holy Spirit, listen, the Holy Spirit will make every person in the family obey exactly what the Bible says. Do you know how I know that? Because the Holy Spirit is the one that wrote it. The Holy Spirit is the one that inspired Paul to talk about all this loving your husband and submitting to your husband and loving your wife and obeying your parents, all that stuff. The Holy Spirit that lives in you, he's the same one that inspired Paul to wrote it. Let me tell you what, he's never going to change. Amen? What a wonderful, wonderful plan for the family. You know, it's strange. We submit to the Holy Spirit and yield to the Holy Spirit when we want to teach a Sunday school lesson. We ask the Holy Spirit to fill us when we go out soul winning. We pray and ask the Holy Spirit to use us when we sing a special. Why does it seem strange to ask the Holy Spirit to fill us and use us when we go home? I mean, if we're going to go through the effort and ask the Holy Spirit to fill us for church ministry or to try to influence somebody for God, you'd think we'd do it for the ones that we love, that our own flesh and blood. Why don't we this morning realize that God's plan for our homes, God's plan for our marriages is really this, to be a Holy Spirit-filled family member. To be yielded to the Holy Spirit every day. The first people that will benefit from you being filled by the Holy Spirit is your own spouse, is your own children. This is what we really need. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, to have homes that are productive and fruitful and a joy to come home to. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes this morning? If you're not a believer, there's no way you can ask the Holy Spirit to fill you unless you accept Christ. And the Holy Spirit can be in you, and then he can fill you. Maybe you're sitting here this morning, and maybe you've been here just a few times. Maybe you're a visitor. Maybe you've been here a while, and you'd say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. God knows I'm not saved." You'd say that. Again, I'm not trying to single you out or embarrass you, but say, "Preacher, pray for me. I know I'm not truly a believer in Jesus Christ." Would you slip up your hand? You'd say, "I'm not, in my heart, truly a believer in Jesus Christ." In a few minutes, we're going to have counselors come up to the front. If you'd like someone to show you in the Bible how you can accept Christ as your Savior and know for sure that you're God's child, you come. Jesus Christ shed his blood so that our sins no longer have to stand between us and God, our Heavenly Father. Maybe you'd say, "Preacher, I've accepted Christ, but I've never been baptized. I've never made it public that I believe Jesus Christ died, went to the tomb, and rose again after 3 days and three nights." You'd say, "Pray for me. I need to get baptized. Make it public that I'm a believer." Would you slip up your hand? You'd say, "I need to get baptized. I've accepted Christ, but I've never been baptized." In a few minutes, we're going to have an invitation. I invite you to come forward and publicly be baptized the way the Bible says you should. Maybe you're thinking about your home. You're thinking about the people that God has given you. Are you giving them a Holy Spirit-filled family member? Or are you just filled with the flesh? If to whatever extent you're not filled with the Spirit, your flesh is still in control. To whatever extent you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you, you're leading yourself. You know why we have such conflict in our homes? You know why we have such, again, friction? Because the Holy Spirit's not putting our families together. We're living just like the unsaved world. They live without the Holy Spirit's guidance. They live without listening to the Holy Spirit. Shame on us. Sometimes we live without the Holy Spirit guiding us. You'd say, "Preacher, somewhere along the line, something spoke to my heart. I need to be yielded to the Holy Spirit." As a family member, would you slip up your hands? Don't just pray for the Holy Spirit to fill you when you come to church. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you when you go home. Let's pray. Lord, we need you. Lord, first of all, we pray, Lord, for those folks that are here that are not saved. Lord, we pray that we would have the privilege of showing them how you could save us, how you shed your blood. You sent your Son here to pay the price for our sins. Thank you, Lord, for that. Lord, we pray that you would again lead those that need to get baptized and make it public that they're believers. And Lord, we pray that we would be Holy Spirit-filled husbands, Holy Spirit-filled wives, Holy Spirit-filled parents, Holy Spirit-filled children, Holy Spirit-filled brothers, Holy Spirit-filled daughters and sisters. Lord, forgive us for building our homes without you. No wonder we're failing. No wonder everybody's going their own way, Lord, because we're listening to the flesh rather than seeing you produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit in us. Lord, please bless this invitation. Help us to make real decisions that will cause us this week to be filled with the Holy Spirit, not when we come to church, but when we go home. Lord, please speak to our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand together, the piano play. If there's a decision that you need to make before you leave this place, I beg you to get the Holy Spirit involved in your home. Get the Holy Spirit involved in your marriage. Let him be between you and your spouse. Get the Holy Spirit involved in your parenting. May he be the one that guides you as a mom or a daughter or a father. May the Holy Spirit be a part of your relationship with your brother or sister. Don't push the Holy Spirit away. He has, again, what your family needs. He's a part of Ephesians chapter 5, the place where God speaks about the family. You'd say, "Well, I need to do it." My friend, there's no way that we could be good husbands and good fathers and good mothers and good wives. God did not create us to live and build the Christian home without him. He again put us together with our families so that they could benefit from us being filled with the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to convict us, allowing the Holy Spirit to teach us, allowing the Holy Spirit to overcome sin in our lives, allowing the Holy Spirit to show us what we've been doing. Sometimes we don't see what we're doing. We don't see how we're doing things. The Holy Spirit can remind us, instruct us, show us how to be a Holy Spirit-filled Christian. Not just to be a soul winner or a bus worker or a businessman or a businesswoman, but to be a Holy Spirit-controlled and filled family member. When the Holy Spirit starts working in our homes, he will produce in us what we need that we might be, again, the family members that we should be. And if we're the family members we're supposed to be, our families will, of course, become what they're supposed to become. Don't miss the opportunity to see God working in your home. The Holy Spirit wants to work in every part of our life, not just select parts. We sometimes come to church and say, okay, Holy Spirit, I want you to lead me and guide me now. My friend, we should have been doing that all week. We should have been doing that on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. The Holy Spirit wants to be a part of everything I do and everything you do. Don't push him out of your home. He's not just there to be turned on and turned off at will. He wants to make you a blessing to everyone, especially to those of your own home. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to fill us so we can do what is will in our church. Amen? You may be seated. This morning, Miss Rochelle, if you'll stay standing, Miss Rochelle has already accepted Christ and been baptized. This morning, she's joining our church. Welcome to our church. And then after we baptize, I'll ask you to stand in the front and let them shake your hand. So after baptism, please, I get a chance to shake Miss Rochelle's hand. She has a tremendous spirit, and we're so glad that you chose to join our church this morning. You may be seated. Wonderful, wonderful. And this morning also, Jonathan Mendez has accepted Christ. He's getting baptized this morning to make his faith public. And so the piano will play as we prepare for baptism, and then we'll baptize.
Okay. I'm going to pray for both things. So today is a little two things. But Miss Rochelle Myers, she's going to stand up here. So if everybody just moves that way and, you know, goes and shakes her hand for new membership, hopefully he'll be out and then we'll get to shake his hand too. Amen. We got to encourage as they take steps forward. Let's pray. The Lord, thank you once again for just a wonderful message from Pastor. Father, help us to just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, dear Lord, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Dear Lord, allow the Holy Spirit to work through us, through our families, dear Lord, that we may make a difference, dear Lord. Just a wonderful message there. And we also just want to thank you for Rochelle Myers, dear Lord, for her decision to be a member, and for Jonathan Mendez, dear Lord, for taking the step of baptism, dear Lord. Thank you for these two decisions that were made this morning. We ask and we pray that you would guide them, dear Lord, as they continue to grow in your will and in this church. In Jesus' precious name, amen.